All right, good morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer, and we will jump right into the message for this morning, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thanking you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Amen. Father, I pray this morning that you would touch your people. And Lord, set them aside for a holy purpose, a holy mission. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. The Bible says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm going to share with you this morning my testimony of how this verse fulfilled itself in my life. I'm going to share my testimony in an interesting way, because what I found is that, you know, some of your Bibles may say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. And, you know, praise God, God is the creator. Amen? And he is able to create good things out of bad things. I praise God for that. But I discovered something as I studied the Bible. I discovered that God creates, or let me rephrase that, that God recreates in the same way that he creates. He recreates in the same way that he creates. So as I share my testimony, I want you to be thinking about your own testimony. Amen? Amen. When you think about the creation of God, what comes to mind? It's one of the first things that comes to mind. Yeah, the creation story, the creation week. And I want you to notice with me, if you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you my testimony through the creation week. Okay? And I'm going to show you that God recreates in the same way, in the same pattern that he creates. Notice with me Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Do you realize that every person before they come to Christ is in this condition? Yeah? Do you remember a time in your life where you were without form and void, empty, you know, searching for something, but you knew that something was missing? You were in darkness. You didn't have understanding. This is the condition. Thank you. This is the condition in which all are before they come to Christ. So I'm going to tell you my story, and I'm going to begin with day one. Day one of creation week, my condition, being without form, void, and in darkness. I was born in Jamaica. That does not mean that I was void. And I'm just telling you, I was born in Jamaica. And my parents were not Christian. We didn't grow up in a Christian home or a Christian environment. My father and mother had me christened as a Catholic when I was a child, just because they had a good friend who was a Catholic priest, and that was it. We didn't go to church. I'm one of four brothers. I am the third brother, and third son, I should say. And again, didn't grow up in a spiritual home. My father was in the military, and my mother, you know, did a little just jobs here and there, but my father was the main breadwinner. And as I look back at my young, my childhood, I can look back and see how God began to move in my life, or how God was there without us even realizing that he was there. My father was in the military, and he would often... My phone, and it's off. Is that making any difference? All right, I'm just going to put it to the side here anyway. All right, so my father was in the military and was often in conflict with the drug lords, Rastafarians, if any of you know the term. And he would often run raids on you know, these drug dealers, and in turn the drug dealers often ran raids on us. And how many of you know about the situation that's going on in Jamaica right now? Okay, so you know, my father and I were talking the other day, and he was telling me that, you know, some of those the first generation of those of that gang were some of the people that my father had been in conflict with. And so there was a lot of, you know, conflict going on. And my father was telling me that on a number of occasions, these drug dealers would either go to the school where my brother and I were attending, my little brother and I were attending. I mean, we're like 3-4 years old, and they're going to the school to try to, like, kill us. And at one instance, they actually came to our home. My father was away, and my older brother was about to go outside, and he saw two men standing by the door with guns in their hands. And he turns around and tells my mom, "Mom, there's two men outside holding guns." Ends up happening that there's this big shootout between them and our neighbors on both sides. And they had come to execute us, if you will. I look back and I see God having his hand of protection over us. Many things. I remember there was one time, you know, just my mother had taken me to the beach. And when I was born, I was a very fair-skinned, I looked like I was white when I was born. And so, you know, we're in Jamaica, and my mom takes me to the beach, you know, with some other family members. And somehow or another, there was some confusion, and my mother was in the water, and my uncle was in the water, and everybody was in the water except me. Somebody thought somebody else was watching me. And something told my mother to turn around, and as she turned around, she... all she saw was my, you know, my little, mine's going blank here. My bassinet, or whatever you want to call it, being disappearing over the horizon. And my uncle took off out the water, running. He catches up with this couple. It is a white couple who was taking me for a walk, they said. You know, boy, I wonder what would have happened when they found out that. Anyways. But God had his hand on me, protecting me, keeping me. And so as a result of this, you know, this incident with this attempt on our lives, my father and mother decided that we were going to leave Jamaica and come to New York and move to United States of America. We came to New York, and in particular, we first lived in Brooklyn, New York. And it was there in Brooklyn, New York, where my younger brother and I'm 6 years old, my younger brother's 5, we are introduced to something called the hip-hop culture. Anybody ever heard of that? And... we're totally amazed at what we're seeing, because, first of all, we've never heard this kind of music before, and we're seeing kids do things like spin on their heads, and, you know, it's called breakdancing and popping, and we're like, wow, it just was like blowing our minds. We're like, wow, what is this? And so we got really hooked into it, and there was another reason why we got hooked into it, was because When I came to the United States of America, my Jamaican accent was so heavy. You know, in Jamaica, we call it patois. And it's kind of like a broken English, you know, dialect. And it was so heavy, my older brother tells me that even, you know, Jamaicans couldn't understand me. That's how heavy it was. And so when I came to the United States and, you know, I'm in class and the teacher would ask me to say something, and as soon as I opened my mouth, the kids would just all break out in laughter. And, you know, sometimes the teacher would ask each of us to stand up and say our grades, and I would just stand up and I wouldn't say anything because I was afraid of how the people were going to respond. So I developed this intense fear of speaking in front of people. This fear would follow me all the way through college, by the way. We'll get back to that. God has a sense of humor. So we got into breakdancing, and that was an easy way to make friends without, you know, having to do much. So once you were accepted, then, you know, people would be less likely to make fun of you and that kind of thing. So we got heavy into the breakdancing, and, you know, just got immersed in the culture. Still no real religious. My parents, you know, they would take us to church maybe once every 3 or 4 years for a wedding or some family member inviting us, some, you know, cousin or aunt or uncle inviting us to some event. So no real church experience. But I remember two of the first religious experiences I had. They both happened when I was about the age of 12. First one is that it was Halloween night, and I was getting ready to go trick-or-treating. And, you know, I'm with my friends. My brother and I were with our friends, and we're, you know, getting ready to bike up. You know, we're going to go take off, do our trick-or-treating thing. And my father pulls up around the corner, and he says to my brother and I, get in the car. Now, first of all, it was weird that my father would pull up because we're going trick-or-treating. Why is he in his car, like, coming to our friend's house looking for us? He says, get in the car, and we're kind of like, Dad, it's Halloween night. We're going to go trick-or-treating. And he says, no, you're not going trick-or-treating because Halloween is the devil's holiday. Now, you got to understand, I've never heard my father use the word devil before, or God. So I'm like, you know, my brother and I are like, whoa, what, huh, what? It's the devil's holiday, you're going to church. I mean, it felt like Halloween, like, it felt scary. Please, don't send us to church. No! Get in the car. We got in the car. Apparently, he had been talking to my aunt. My aunt was Pentecostal. Told him that Halloween is the devil's holiday. So my father said, get in the car. You're going to church. We get in the car. We are steaming. My father takes us to church, drops us off there, and leaves. We're like, what in the world? As I was there, as we were there, they showed a movie called The Cross and the Switchblade about gangsters who, you know, had become Christians. And I was, you know, I remember watching this movie and I began to be intrigued about Jesus. And I remember thinking that as I was sitting there, I think I might like to get to know who this Jesus is. And it was like this heavy spirit of conviction came over me. And it hovered over me. I mean, it was strong until I stepped outside the church. And then it was like, oh, whew, glad I'm out of there. Ah, church, can't believe it, Halloween night. So that was one experience. And the other experience is I had a cousin come from from England. You know, we did not know. We met her that summer for the first time. And she was about 13, 14 years old, a little bit older than us. And she was spiritual, and we didn't know that. But she was really, you know, cool, and we just liked her. We got along real well. And one morning, she's talking to us. She would talk to us about things from the Bible very often. We didn't know anything. And then one particular morning, my parents weren't home. It was just me and my brother, and she's there talking to us. And she spent the summer with us. So she's there talking with us, and she begins to talk about the book of Revelation. And proceeds to tell us about something called the mark of the beast. Now, you have to understand that summer, or I think it was the summer before, my brother and I had just watched a movie about the Antichrist. And in this movie, anyone who discovered who the Antichrist was died horrendous, horrific, excruciating deaths. So my cousin's like, "Do you want to know what the mark of the beast is?" And I'm like, "Yes." Yeah. Yeah, my head was saying no, my mouth said yes. And it was like, how did that happen? And my brother and I are just like, oh my, our parents are not home. And this girl is about to get us killed. So she's like, yeah, I know what the mark of the beast is. And she proceeds to tell us that there are certain soap companies or companies that make soap. I don't know if any of you have heard this before. That make soap. Who am I talking about? Procter & Gamble. That make soap. And they have a sign on their soap boxes. It's a circle with a half moon and a man's face in it. That's the mark of the beast. And my brother and I are like, oh my goodness. She just told us what the mark is. And then she's like, do you have a soap box in your house? And we're like, yes. Where is it? In the basement. She says, let's go. So there we are, creaking down the steps. And you have to understand, it's like I heard the horror music in the background. And we're walking down the steps. We get to the basement. I see the soap box. I'm like, there it is. She walks over. My brother and I are standing there like, just backing up. She gets the soap box. She turns. And then she goes, there it is. My brother and I look, we see the circle with the half moon and the man's face in it. We run out the house screaming. We're in the middle of the street screaming in our pajamas. We have now seen the mark of the beast. And within the next day or two, we will die excruciating, horrific, unimaginable deaths. And after 3 days that nothing happened, it was kind of like, whew, yeah, close call. But I remember thinking, you know, I didn't know that was in the Bible, and one day I'd like to get to, you know, really like research that sometime. I remember thinking that at 12, 13 years old. And then, you know, after like a week, everything left and it was just life as usual. Well, we get to high school, and I think it was in the 10th grade that we left New York and moved to Virginia. Now, in Virginia, we were in New York, we were pretty much in an all-black school. When we went to Virginia, we were the only blacks in an all-white school. And so, you know, here we are, we're the only blacks in a white school. We are from New York, so, you know, we come with an attitude. We're from New York, what, you know? And all the students there treated us like, oh, you're from New York, you know, wow. And so we just totally took advantage of that, like, yeah, that's right. And that same year, there was another guy that had moved from New York. He was, his name was Sean. My brother's name is Sean. His name was Sean. We called him Little Sean. And, you know, he was into hip-hop as well. My brother and I were heavy into dancing. We were, you know, break dancing, popping, doing house dancing at that time. And he was into rapping. He was a rhymer. And so we said, hey, let's get together. Let's form a group. And we did this, and every talent show we entered, we were coming in first place. And like the students began to treat us like we were stars, you know. And they were like, man, you guys are going to be famous. You guys can make it big. And we were actually hoping that that would happen before we graduated high school. That way we didn't have to go on to college. You know, we could just be stars and just live the life that we saw. Well, that didn't happen, and off we went to college. In college, that's where I really began to, like, lose, you know, under my parents' roof. I tried to be, you know, respectful to my parents, but when I got to college, my brother and I, we just lost it. You know, we were like, yeah, we're free. So we start drinking and, you know, doing all kinds of just, you know, we're in college, and every weekend, my friends and I are getting into fights. We're going into clubs and just fighting. And it's a bunch of us. It's like, maybe, I don't know, 40 of us that are all hanging out together. And by the way, we had a name for our crew. We called ourselves a crew. We had a name for our crew, and we called ourselves X-Men. Good, none of you know what that is. I'll help you out a little bit. Yeah, there's a famous comic book superhero group called X-Men. And we were heavy into comic books. You know, we just loved that the whole, it was just, so we called ourselves X-Men. And it's interesting, my brother, I'll tell you later that, you know, we got a major recording contract. And in our group, my brother's, my code name was Yoda from Star Wars. And my brother's name was Jedi. So you can tell that we were like really, really, really into this stuff. And so we're on college campus. We're, you know, getting into fights and just living a real crazy life. And I remember, you know, a couple more incidents. It's like God was continually trying to reach out to me in different ways, but just planting little seeds. One night I had a friend call me up, and he was like, he's like, man, you need to come over here and listen to this song. So I went to his house, and he puts on this song. And it's a house song, and it has this real heavy, repetitious, hypnotic beat. And then this voice comes over it, and the words I hear are this. And he opened the sixth seal, and lo, the sun became as black as sackcloth, and the moon as blood. Those were the words that I heard. But it was being spoken in a demonic voice. So it was the devil speaking, and he was reading from the book of Revelation, the seven seals. And I remember hearing it and thinking to myself, oh, wow, man, that sounds crazy. But then I thought, wait a minute, this sounds like it comes from the Bible. And it was like in that instant, something said to me, man, if that's what the Bible says, I would sure like to read more about it. Now, the reason I said that is because by this time, my brother and I and, you know, the little Sean, who was at the same college that we were at, we all continued our hip-hop group. So the idea was, why not take some lyrics from the book of Revelation and put it into our music? So that evening, I went home, and I called up all my friends, and I was like, hey, I got this great idea. They were like, what? Let's get together and read through the whole book of Revelation in one night. So, like 40 of us got together. And, you know, just imagine, 40 dreadlocked, you know, just like, you know, Yoji guys getting together. And there we are, one Bible. And we read through the whole Bible, the whole book of Revelation in that one night. Smoking marijuana. Yeah. What? Wow! This is crazy. Pass the Bible, pass the marijuana. We read through the whole book of Revelation. Yeah. And we were real excited because at the very beginning of the book, we read there was a blessing contained for all. And we were like, man, what a blessing. Pass it on. What a blessing. You know. So God was working with us in our ignorance. Amen? In our ignorance. So we enter a talent show in... Oh, let me jump back a little bit. Oh, boy. Yeah. While I'm on, you know, just living this lifestyle and just doing crazy things, I remember thinking, you know, I would go to bed at nights and I would just ask myself, what would happen if I were to die tonight? Like, by day, I was hard. I was like, you know, nobody, you know, it's just like a hard rock. And by night, I'd lay on my bed going, you know, what is life all about? What would happen if someone... You know, if I died in that fight yesterday. And I remember that there was this one guy on campus. He dressed differently. He would walk around. Everybody knew he was a Christian. And he'd have his headphones on. He'd always be listening to Christian music or sermons or something. And we'd all laugh at him. I'd laugh at him too. Look at that silly guy. Well, one night, I was like, okay, I'm going to go find this guy. So I come out of my dorm room. It's like 11 o'clock at night. You know, check both directions, make sure nobody's looking. you know, slipped out my room door, went down to his door, stopped in front of his door, made sure nobody was looking, turned my back to the door, knocked on it, knock, 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 knock. He opened the door. I was like, hey, man, are you a Christian? He said, yeah. Can I come in and talk to you? Yeah. Stepped in real quick. And once inside, I said, oh, listen, man, I know that I see you walking around all the time and da-da-da-da-da. And I asked him, I said, listen, what must I do to be saved? That's what I asked him. I hadn't read the Bible. What must I do to be saved? And he said, oh, it's easy. Just, you know, pray this prayer. So he led me through this prayer. And then, you know, when I said amen, it was like this burden just lifted off of my shoulders. I mean, it was just like, a breath of fresh air, because now I knew that if I died while fighting in the clubs, I'd be all right. So off I went, free. So we enter this talent show, and I'm skipping a bunch of things here, but we enter the talent show at Howard University, came in first place. As a result of that, there was a scout there who said, listen, we would like for you guys to record a 6-song demo. We'll take it to New York and help you shop it. We did that, and in a matter of 6 days, we were signed to a major recording contract with EMI Records. Anybody ever heard of EMI Records? EMI Records. We were signed to an 8-album contract totaling $850,000. And we were like, yes, this is it. We have made it. We're about to go big. We drop out of school, and my parents were very reluctant. They didn't, you know, record deal, what? You know, you're staying in school, getting an education. And we're like, Mom, Dad, you don't understand. This is $850,000. We're going to be on TV. Mom, Dad, please. Just give us one semester. And they were like, yeah, well, for us, that one semester meant we're never going back to school. But they said one semester, and if it doesn't work out, you have to go back to school. Sure, Mom and Dad, okay. We drop out of school. But not only do the 4-man group, my younger brother, myself, and the 2 other guys that were in the group, not only do we drop out of school, but almost all of our friends leave, drop out. And we all go up to New York City because we're about to live the life that we've seen on TV. We get a place, and, you know, that's it. We're just like, okay, we are now doing our dream. We're writing music. We're doing nothing but writing music, partying. I mean, you know, like 30 of us just hanging out, just like doing our thing. And it is in this environment that when you read those very next words in Genesis chapter 1, where the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be what? Light. Amen. There was a young man that was hanging out with us. He was a friend of a friend of ours. We had just met him, you know, hanging out, dreadlocks just like us, you know, everything, smoking just like us. And what we didn't know about this young man was that he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And some of you call yourself like, amen. And so, you know, it was the in thing at that point to talk about, you know, for hip-hop people to talk about the New World Order and this and that. And by the way, in the hip-hop culture, the Bible is really taboo. You know, the Bible was considered the white man's book. And, you know, we just shunned away from it. It was a book of lies. So that's kind of what I grew up around. And it was a unique stance to actually be like, we're going to take stuff out of the book of Revelation and rhyme about it. So at this time, you know, we're talking about all this. And this guy, he notices that, you know, we're talking about the book of Revelation and things like that. And one night we're all downstairs hanging out and we're just, you know, just doing our thing. And he just brings up this question out of the blue. He says to us, what day do you guys think the Sabbath is? And so, you know, we're all like smoking in the den. And we're like, yeah, that's a stupid question. Everybody knows it's Sunday. And he says, okay. He says, what's the first day of the week? And we were like, no.
What did he say?
Yeah. What's the first day of the week? And we were like, Sunday. And he was like, what's the seventh day of the week? And we were like, Sunday. And then from memory, he begins to break down the Bible concerning the Sabbath. Now, y'all understand, he's about 19 at the time. We're like 20, 21. You know, I mean, we're all in that age. And I had heard people talk about the Bible before, and I was like, ah, that doesn't make sense. Ah, that's garbage. You know, oh, that's just a bunch of lies. And I always said to myself, I will not believe anything that I cannot prove myself. And so I was a little bit skeptical about the Bible, believed that there was a God, but skeptical, you know. Well, as he begins to break down the Bible, we are like so amazed. It was like the Spirit of God broke through all that smoke and alcohol and just, oh boy, that's my beloved mom calling me. I should have had this thing off. You should have taken this from me. There we go. There we go. I'll call her. I should have answered. Mom, I'm in the middle of talking right now. Okay, so where was I? Yes, the Holy Spirit just penetrated and like grabbed hold of us. And that night we ended up having like a 3-hour Bible study. We were so amazed by what we had learned in that one night. From that night on, it was like, let there be light. We began studying with this young man, and he was just telling us stuff. We were like, what in the world? He began to break down to us Bible prophecy, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, Daniel 2, the stone image, all these things, and we are just blown away by what we were hearing. From that night on, had you gone into that house, you know, at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, what you would have seen is like 40 of us, 30 to 40 of us, on the floor, scattered around with Bibles in our hands, studying the Word of God, and still smoking our marijuana at the same time. God was what? He was working with us. And we got so excited about what we were learning. We were like, man, what are you? And he said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And we were like, a what? What is that? He told us, and we said, we're going to church with you this Saturday. So just imagine. Thirty, dreadlocked, gum chewing, pants sagging, just walking up into church. The people, I mean, we were so excited. We did not notice the looks on the people's faces, and they were all like, and I kid you not, like, when the pastor would speak, we were just like, oh, he's saying the same thing you said. That's what we're telling our friend. You know, it was so, put it like this. If we thought, we were like, man, somebody else is saying the same thing you said. We thought like he was like this guy who was just, had this special knowledge. We could have ended up following him as the Messiah or something. Like, how do you know all this? We didn't know there was a whole church that was teaching them, you know. It was just like, wow, who are you? These are my disciples here, you know. But no, we discovered that, you know, there were other people. So the pastor would speak, and like literally, the pastor could have said, brothers and sisters, remember to pay your tithe. What? Tithe? Oh my goodness, did you hear that? Tithe! No one ever told us. Beloved, remember that Jesus is the Messiah. What? The Messiah? I am so excited. Beloved, the Sabbath is the seventh. Yes! And everybody else was sitting around us just like. And we were like, what is the matter with these? Did they not just hear what the pastor said? Tithe! We were literally, every word, we were just like, what? And I think I still have the same problem today. I'm still like, what? And so many of us are still like, well, sometimes we don't realize what we're sitting on. I'm telling you, I'm telling you. What I learned was more exciting than any movie I had ever seen. And so we got so excited. We got so excited. We decided we were going to take the three angels' messages and give it to the hip-hop world. So we'd be in the clubs on Friday night. You missed that too. We'd be in the clubs on Friday night, and we'd be, you know, doing our thing, and then, you know, suddenly we'd stop and we'd go, we'd say, who wants to know who the man of sin is? Throw your hands in the air! And everybody would throw their hands in the air, and then we'd start throwing out great controversies. Seriously. We're doing that. Throwing out great controversies on stage. And the people were, you know, diving for the books. We're like, look at this. This is great. This is great. And you know, at this point, I remember that we began to, you know, now we're appearing on shows like Soul Train and Rap City and BET, and you know, we have made it to the top, and you know, we're known as the only hip-hop group to mingle the Bible in a way that's not preaching, all this kind of stuff. You know, we're being written up in Rolling Stones magazine and all this, and then a fan wrote us a letter one day. He said, hey, listen, I appreciate what you guys are doing, and I like your music, but I have a question for you, because see, the name of our group was, we were called the Boogie Monsters, this person wrote and said, how can you claim to, you know, be serving God and have a name like Boogie Monsters? Doesn't the Bible say that light and darkness cannot dwell together? And that, you know, I hope I meet this person in heaven. Because that letter began a train of thought in my mind that I had never thought about before. It was like, wait a minute. You know, and he quoted a verse. And, you know, at first we were like, oh, man, this guy. All of us, we were like, whatever. Like, that night, we were like, man, we think we need to change the name of our group. You know, that very night, We tried to do that. The record label wouldn't let us do it. And so we just said, okay, well, you know, we'll just deal with it. We'll make up a religious reason why we're called the Boogie Monsters. People are afraid of what they don't understand. And when they see us, we look scary, but we're Christians inside. Boogie Monsters. You're buying it? Great. You know, we just made stuff up. So, it's interesting because the Bible says that on day two, God separated the waters from the waters. You know what waters represent in the Bible? Peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. And it, you know, it's a powerful thing because as a result of that study, almost all of us, like maybe 20-something of us, ended up being baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But then God began to show me that light and darkness could not dwell together. And he began to reveal things to me, which I will share throughout this week. But he began to reveal things to me and in such a powerful way that I was like, you know what? There is no way that I can continue to be half of a Christian and also be in the world. It's like God told me I'd be in the clubs and we'd be rhyming, you know, get out of the clubs. Babylon is fallen. What are you doing here? On Friday night. And God had to show us you cannot call people out of Babylon if you are still in Babylon yourself. Amen. And that brought a dramatic change. It brought my brother and I to the place where we were like, you know what, we cannot walk, you know, be half Christians and half in the world. And my brother and I decided that we were going to come totally out of the industry, totally just walk away from it. And it was quite a challenge because it's like the devil was saying, all this will I give you if you fall down and worship me. All this will I give you, fall down and worship me. It was a challenge. Well, I'll tell you what, my brother and I ended up working. Like, I left and went to work at Target, making $5.50 an hour. And my brother went to work for the government holding stop signs on the road in the town that we, you know, spent our years of high school, so people knew us. And they'd see my brother on the road like, hey, what are you doing? We're holding stop signs. But we were not ashamed of it. We were excited. We were just, you know, like, yes. I'll tell you something funny. When I became Adventist, you know, by this time, well, I'll tell you that in a minute. Just hold that thought, okay? So I did not know anything about Adventist colleges or anything like that. In fact, on day three, what does the Bible say that happened on day three? Who can tell me? Day three, God brought forth what? Fruit from the ground. You know what began to happen? God said, listen, first he brought me out of darkness into his light, and then he called me to separate, and then he said, now I'm going to cause you to bring forth fruit. The things that I used to do, the fruit that I used to bring forth, bad fruit, God said, now I'm going to change that to good fruit. God began to make a change in my life in a very practical way. For example, I remember one day my brother came to me and said, hey, you know what? I think if we're going to be saved, we need to stop cursing. And I was like, Sean, come on, are you serious? Like, if we have to stop cursing, who then can be saved? Yeah. That's how filthy we were in our talk. And it was like, he was like, no, I think it's true. I think we do need to stop. I was like, Sean, are you, come on, man. Don't discourage me. Don't discourage me. And you know what? We began to pray over that. And God took, it was like he just eliminated those words from our life. God was making a radical change in us. We cut our dreads. When I cut my dreadlocks, that's when my parents knew, oh, they're serious. When the pants went up, now, by the way, my parents thought that my brother and I were crazy. They were like, what are you doing? Because we came over to, Mom, Dad, guess what? You'll never believe who the Antichrist is. And they're like, whoa, ew. And my parents were so nervous for us that they began praying for us. So day three, God begins to bring forth fruit. Day four, God says, God puts the lights. Remember that? How God put the lights in the firmament, the greater light and the lesser light. You know, beloved, I can with great joy say that God had put a new light in my life. The greater light, amen, and the lesser light. But when I discovered the writings of Ellen White, it was just like the most amazing thing. I was like, wow, you know, no question in my mind. I was like, here is a prophet of God. And I began to study the Bible so intensely because I wanted to be a light to the world. I wanted to, as one time I was leading people into darkness, I now wanted to lead them into light. Lead them into light. And day five, the Bible says that God created the fish and the bird. You know what? Do you know what the first thing Jesus says to us after he brings us into his light? After he separates us from the world, after he says he begins to change us, and after he equips us with the word of God, he says what? Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. And beloved, as a result of that, I remember, you know, my parents, they actually began studying to try to prove that I was crazy. My brother and I were crazy, and after 3 years, they gave up and got baptized in the Adventist church. My brother, my older brother, and his wife baptized in the Adventist church. God has been using my brother and I to bring many of our family into the truth of God and many other people into the truth of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Here's what I was going to say that was funny. When I first became an Adventist, I was the church that I went to, all black. So I thought that Adventism was a black movement. When I saw my first white Adventist, I was like, oh, praise God! The message is going into all the world! yeah. So anyway, what day are we on? Day six. Day five, where God calls us to be fishers of men. Little did I realize that God was going to call me into the work of ministry. Remember my intense fear of speaking to people, speaking in front of people? You might say, Pastor, how could you have been rhyming in the hip-hop industry if you had that fear? Well, in the hip-hop industry, you're hiding behind music. You can put on a facade, you can act like you're hard, and all these things. But to just intellectually communicate, hiding behind nothing, you know, it terrified me. It terrified me. And God said, this is your weakness, and so this is what I'm going to use. This is what I'm going to make your strength. This is what I'm going to make your strength. And I just praise God. I mean, God can take a person with that kind of past in all different ways and use him or her, make him or her a new creation in him. Day six, the Bible says that God created man in his image. You realize that God, that is the ultimate goal of God? It is to fully recreate us in his image. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. And then day seven, where God rests from his completed work. But Lord, I want to share something with you. God wants to recreate each and every one of us. Oh, here's something. Did you know, I praise God that I'm an ex-hip-hop guy. You know, do you know God's doing that? God is bringing out of the world. God is creating ex-punk rockers, you know, ex-drug addicts. And I began thinking about that because you may not have known this, but do you know that the letter X was in the Greek alphabet used to represent Christ? That's why you'll sometimes see Xmas, Christmas. And I began to think, Lord, you have truly made me an X-man. Yes. I thought, praise God. Praise God. The devil seeks to counterfeit everything that belongs to God. I said, Lord, praise God. And that, you know, I'd call myself Yoda because, you know, Yoda was wise. And the Lord was like, no. When your name was Yoda, you were stupid. But now the wisdom that you wanted, that you so wanted, and you called yourself Yoda because of that, now you have that true wisdom because you've gotten it from where? From the Word of God. Amen. So here's a question for you. What day of the week are you in? What day of the week are you in? Are you still there before the part that says the Spirit of God moved upon? Are you still in darkness, void, empty? Where are you? Are you in day two, just camped out? How long you been in day two? Oh, the last 15 years, day two. Do you realize that God is moving you because he wants to get you to the end of the week? So that he can put his seal upon you that states that you are a completed work in him? Where are you? Where are you in the week? Where are you? I want to close with a simple appeal, and it is this. Today you're saying, Lord, I know where I am in the week. My days haven't even begun yet. Or I've been camped out in this day for the last 10 years. Lord, I think it's time for me to move forward. Lord, help me. Help me to move forward in my recreation process. If that's your desire, I'm going to ask you, just raise your hand. You don't need to stand, just raise your hand. Say, Lord, recreate me. Help me to move forward in that creation week. Praise God. Pray with me if you will. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your power to recreate. Lord, please, we pray that you would truly make us ex-men and women for you. Christians who are unafraid to stand and to let their light shine. Recreate us, Lord, in your image. Move us from darkness into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.